Ready to hear some music? Good. Three people are excited to hear the music. I'm telling you, I thought by the end of the week you'd be a little bit more excited than this. But we're so glad that the Lakes are here. We're going to have them come sing to us tonight for 2 or 3 hours, and then we'll have some preaching. Amen. You come. His mic's not on. I don't know that he needs it.
And I got my Garth Brooks mic figured out pretty quick there, amen. All right, we've had a great time this week, and right before we sing one, I'm going to sing one for you. That I know how exhausting these weeks can be for a pastor and his wife and for the staff of the church, and so we got a little song I want to sing you here.
Well, you come home at night, sit down for a bite, but you're wore out, and you're hardly able to get up from the table, 'cause you're wore out.
You're allowed to laugh in church too.
Then you crawl into bed and you sleep like you're dead, 'cause you're wore out. And in the morning when you wake up, you can't hardly get up, 'cause you're wore out. But when we get to heaven with Jesus our King, 10 million years and still fresh as the spring, we'll be happy and free, and our bodies won't be wore out. Now you get up on Sunday and you dread to see Monday, 'cause you're wore out. And you go sit in church till your back starts to hurt, 'cause it's wore out. Then the choir starts to sing, but you can't hear a thing, 'cause they're wore out. You hope the sermon and song, they won't be too long, 'cause you're wore out.
We know there's no chance that Brother Fury's preaching. It's going to be long regardless, amen.
Now you're ready for a biscuit, but your wife just won't fix it, 'cause she's wore out. So it won't take too long. And instead of going home, you just go out. But the wait makes you nervous, 'cause there's poor lousy service. She's wore out, and you're glad it ain't far from the table to the car, 'cause you're wore out. Now you take your wife in the car for a ride, but it's wore out. And she starts to worry when you get in a hurry, 'cause it's wore out. Now you don't know where you're at, and the tire, it goes flat, 'cause it's wore out. And from the sound of the motor, you'll soon have to tow her, 'cause it's wore out. But when we get to heaven with Jesus our King, we won't have to worry about one thing. We'll be happy and free, and our bodies won't be wore out. Yes, we'll be happy and free, and our bodies won't be wore out.
Amen.
Had gone so well this trip. Everybody's taken such good care of us, from the car to the house to the cupcakes to somebody gave my wife a gift, very thoughtful, and just everything's been wonderful. I don't want to forget anybody, but today was cruel and unusual punishment, putting the fat guy up to sing after the food. And trying to sing and do all that on a full stomach, but we'll try and muddle through. But if there's some sounds that's not music, please understand. I promised if anything got in the little fuzzy thing on the mic here, I'd leave it for Brother Feary. So hopefully we'll be all right. Let's sing Still Blessed. We're still blessed. Amen.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I see I've made it through the night. I listen for my family, sure enough, they're all right. As we gather round the table, bow our heads in thankfulness. With tear-filled eyes, my heart cries, still blessed.
Let's do When You Look at Me. Do that one. It's the one.
Amen. You know, thank God that when He looks at us, He doesn't see us for who we are. He sees us for what Christ has made us. Amen. And I think it's a real good thing we're inside right now, if my ears are not betraying me. Amen. Thank God when he looks at us. If you're saved here tonight, he doesn't see us for who we are. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. Far back in time, God's love so sublime pitied this lost sinner's plight. You gave your Son, that pure sinless one. Darkness was broken by his holy light. His blood was shed for the sin of all men. Your mercy extended to me. Though I once hid my face, all because of your grace. When you look at me, Lord, there's something to see. I faced you then in the rags of my sin, helpless and hopeless, I stood there condemned. But Lord, when you saved me, you cleansed me that day. You clothed me and threw all my old rags away. When others see me, I look just like them, imperfect as they all can see. But you see me righteous, forgiven and free. Lord, that's what you see when you look at me. He has waiting for me. Heaven, the saints' home, sweet home. Land of delight, there's no darkness and no night. The cares and the heartaches of this world, you can see by
When others see me, I look just like them, imperfect as you all can see. But He sees me righteous, forgiven and free. Lord, that's what you see when you look at me. I'm your born again child, and forever I'll be. Lord, that's what you see when you look at me.
Amen. Amen. I'm sure glad He doesn't see me for who I am. Amen. Let's do our number one. We're going to try a new one on you. We don't have this on a CD or anything, but I love the message of this song. The greatest, one of the greatest things about being saved is I'm not going to hell. And I know that's a scary word in a lot of places, but I don't think it is here. And the fact that you've heard about it before, if you're lost without Christ, that's your final destination. But when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Amen. And when I was 5 years old, my grandfather preached a message on hell, and all I knew is I didn't want to go there. I knew that it was more than just a curse word. I knew that it was something more than just what people used in a sentence to put some emphasis. I realized I did not want to go there. And today, because of Jesus Christ, I'm not going there. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying or where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, God save me that day. Got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior. What a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Amen. I hope that's your testimony. It can be before you leave here tonight. Amen.
Now my life's worth living since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, and he's always trying to lead me down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, He'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say, I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well.
Getting pretty good on those amens by the end of the week. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have rushed some time to pick up an offering. And
dinner, I heard, if you're able, was about $6. It cost about $6 for all the chicken and things for each of us. And so if you're able to do that, that would be fine. If you're not able, if you can't afford it, or if you're just our guest here tonight, we don't want you to put anything in. We're thankful that you're here. But if you're able to, that's about what it was. But give as you would, and it helps our whole conference and the whole week that we've had. And it'll all go in the pot, and we'll be a blessing to the Lake family the best that we can. How many of you enjoyed this week so far? Amen. Well, it's been good. And let me say this. I want to put a little plug in for Brother Lake. Starting next Sunday, they have their camp meetings. Would you pray for them? And let me say this. If you like to vacation and you like going down to the East Coast, you need to go sometime down to their camp meeting and take a trailer. Or they got motels there. They sell out one entire motel. They fill that motel up. And they have five or six different singing families come in, and music and preaching two or three times a day, and they feed you and everything, and you'll get worn out by their hospitality. So you'll want to go to that. So that's a great vacation spot. Go down and support them and enjoy the preaching and the music all week long, just like we've had this week. All right, men, if you'll come, we'll go ahead and take up this evening's offering. Amen. Brother Ray Kirkwood, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Hear your word, song, and also the word. Thank you for the meetings we've had this week and how you've met with us, Lord. And to stir our hearts, and just pray that you have met tonight and draw us closer to yourself. Help folks that are not sitting to make that decision, Lord, and pray that you have lasting memories of this evening together. Pray to bless this offering. Help us pray for the church to our way. Thank you for it.
Let the lakes just rest for a moment. All right, who's got a favorite? Yes, ma'am. 256. Would you like to stand and stretch out? Let's stand together. 256, I will raise him. praying for them, praying for the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I know they'd appreciate that so much. But also, if you'd like to get some good music for your home, please stop by and pick up a CD out there. All right, the Lake family for the last time. I hate to say that, but here they are.
Amen. We had a couple of requests, and we're going to try and do those.
We'll take a minute to get organized here. Amen. I thank God for the church. Amen. I'm thankful for a good church. You ought to be thankful for your church. Amen. I've been in some places where people don't have a good church to go to, and there's places like that all across this country. And so it's great to be able to come to a place where you're going to be able to hear the Word of God. If you're visiting for the first time, I don't know everybody here, but I'd say this is a great place to go to church. And I've found the people very friendly, very welcoming to us, and we thank you all for that. And, you know, the church goes through difficult times from time to time, but amen, we know it'll never sink because Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen.
A big old ship, and she's sitting mighty low in the water. She's been on her maiden voyage ever since the day the blood of Calvary bought her. She's weathered by the storm. Some passengers jumped overboard and drowned. But she's not just some Titanic. She's the church. She ain't going down. Sail on, old ship of Zion. On a brand new gust of wind, when she breathes through the upper room, rode out the storm and a jail cell song at midnight. What makes you think she's gonna sing some modern day typhoon? Sail on, O ship of Zion. Sail on till you hear the captain.
I can't wait to hear the captain say, "Church, you've made it home." Amen, amen. You know, if you're not on that old ship, Jesus saves. Amen. He still saves the day. We preached on that this morning. And he's ready to receive you. Amen. We sang this one this morning, and the pastor said, sing it again. So we're going to sing it again. And boy, I never mind telling the story. Amen. It's a great story, salvation story. And boy, it's the greatest news this world ever heard. Jesus saves. Amen. If you're saved in here tonight, would you say amen if I said it's the best thing that ever happened to you?
Amen.
Oh boy, salvation is the best thing that ever happened to me. And boy, I sure appreciate my Lord and salvation's plan. And you know a lot of the things that this song describes, you know. Boy, it's almost like that. If you could dramatize the moment of salvation, I think this song describes what it would be.
Jesus saves, freedom's calling.
Amen. 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 He sure does. He does. Amen. Somebody else mentioned this one that we had sung earlier on in the week, and it has a message just as important. Salvation is no doubt the most important. But there's a lot of folks, boy, they get saved. Something in this world, the cares and concerns of this world, you know, the Lord talked about in that parable how those things of this world come in and they choke out that seed that was planted. And boy, there's a lot of Christians who are not today where they were when they got saved. And I don't know if you remember how that old hymn says burdens were lifted at Calvary. I don't know if you remember back to that time in your life when your burden was lifted at Calvary. I remember that time. I was only 5 years old, but I remember the tremendous burden that was lifted off of me knowing that I did not have to go to hell. Amen. That Christ was my Savior. But boy, I'll tell you, it doesn't take very long in this world before some of the influences of the world start creeping in and stealing away that joy. And so maybe you're out there this evening and you've wandered far away from God, as that old invitation hymn says, and it's time to come home. And be assured that He's still standing at the door waiting for you to come. It's amazing, I never saw till today how foolish a son I have been. The grass is not greener here, and nobody cares. Oh, but I know I needed, I had all along. Now I'm leaving this place, I want to see my Father's face and hear Him say, son, welcome home. When I was still a way from my Father's house, He came running to greet His lost son. Amen. I said, "Your servant I'll be." Oh, but He did not hear me. He cried, "My prodigal son,
the prodigal son has come home.
want to sing this last song as a challenge, I hope. I've really enjoyed my opportunity to be with the young people last night and then also again this morning in the Sunday school class. And you know, sometimes young people, they think that if you preach hard at them, you don't like them, and nothing could be further from the truth. But, you know, I think God expects a lot from us. And if we're saved here tonight and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, I think He's looking for more than just what we're giving Him. And so I want to challenge you to be looking for what, you know, what God wants you to do with your life. And there's any number of things that young people could do. There's any number of things that older people could do. And God needs us all. We preached this morning that there's a lot of stricken, sick people out in this world. And they need the Savior that we have. And this song that I want to sing here was written by a young lady in a church in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. And her desire of her heart was to get married and have children. And that just didn't seem to be happening. And she didn't want to sit around waiting on God to send her a man. And so she decided that she was going to go to Cambodia and work with a missionary family there in an orphanage. And so she did that. And she spent several years there and became terribly sick. And she just simply was not able to stay. But she was unwilling to come home. And finally came to the point where her pastor said, "Emerald, you have to come home. You can't stay. If you stay any longer, you could die." And so when she came home, she still suffers from the things that happened to her over there. But when she came home, she wrote this song. And she told the Lord, "Lord, I want to follow you, whether it be across the seas or to my neighbor next door. I want to do what you want me to do." And so please understand the story as I sing this song, because it makes it much more powerful when you think about just a young lady wanted to serve God. And I think if we could put our minds to it, you know, William Carey was a great missionary, Baptist missionary to India. And he said, if we would attempt great things for God, we could expect great things from God. And so why don't you just make a decision tonight, "Lord, I will follow you." Lord, I stand before you now at the crossroad of my life. It is time to make my choice. Lift up my voice. Lord, I lay my will aside, all my dreams and all my plans. I surrender all my life into your hands, and I will follow you wherever you may lead. To the lost next door, or travel far, far across the sea, and I will take up my cross and count my life a loss. Nay, my will be lost and die. Take my talents and my time. I will be true, and I will follow you. Like so many gone on before, who took up their cross and followed you, Lord, and gave their life no matter what the cost. Whether peace or persecution, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So I will follow you wherever you may lead. To the lost
next door or travel far, far across the sea. And I will take up my cross and count my life a loss. Nay, my will be lost in thine. Take my talents and my time. I will be true and I will follow. Make your choice today to walk in the straight and narrow way. Make your choice to stand for right and fight the fight. God is looking for some people who will strong and faithful be. Can you hear the Savior's voice? Come follow me. Follow me, and I will follow you wherever you may lead. To the lost, next door, or travel far, far across the sea. Take my talents and my time. I will be true and I will follow you. Let my will be lost in thine. Take my talents and my time. I will be true and I will follow.
Amen, amen. Open your Bibles with me. Well, I don't know where to go from there. Sometimes you, as a preacher, you think you've got the message, and then God starts laying something on your heart, and you're just not really sure what to do. And, you know, as much as possible, I try not to program God, because I try to be sensitive to the leading of His Spirit, and so I'd ask you to turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Well, He is worthy, isn't He? He is worthy. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created..." You know, He created all things for His pleasure, for His honor, and for His glory. And it really saddens me when I look around this world and there's so much that God's displeased with. There's so much that God's not happy with. But I'll tell you what, I want Him to be happy with me. I cannot tell you how to live your life. I could tell you tonight how God wishes you would live your life, but I think the greatest example of how to live your life is taken from the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And in particular, the most impressive part to me of the Lord's life is not how He lived. Isn't how He lived impressive? Isn't how He lived amazing? I mean, the Bible says that He was tempted in all matters such as we are, and yet without sin. He faced all the temptations that are known to man, and yet the Bible says He made a way to escape them. He who knew no sin, He knew no sin. He never sinned. He walked his life here on this earth completely sinless. I don't know about you, but that goes way beyond my comprehending. That goes way beyond my understanding. When I think about me and who I am, and I dare say that if we were to put everybody's mind and heart up here on the screen tonight before everybody else, every one of us would stand ashamed. And yet we could do that with the Lord, and he would have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. You know, it's one thing for us to examine the life of a man. But an old preacher one time told his young preachers, he said, boys, he said, for 50 years now pastoring this church, for 50 years, I have taught you how to live. I have tried to live an example before you. I've tried to show you how to live as a man of God and how to walk as a man of God and how to deal with situations as God would deal with them. Boys, I've shown you how to live. And as he came to the end of his life, he said, now I'm going to show you how to die. Boy, I thought about that. You can learn a lot about somebody from their death. Would you look with me in the Gospel of John and chapter number 19? We know by this time Jesus has been on trial before Pilate. And we know that the time of his crucifixion is at hand. The time when he who knew no sin would become sin for us. The time is drawing near, and Jesus has lived his life walking about the shores of Galilee, healing the sick, causing blinded eyes to see, giving cleansing and healing to the lepers, even raising the dead as he did with Lazarus. He walked about Nazareth and the shores of Galilee and everywhere he went doing good. What a life. What a life. What a man. And you know, sometimes as hard as I try to do good, as hard as I try to be what God wants me to be, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. If you wanted to see how a Christian should, surely I've heard people say, well, I'm not going down to that church. They're filled with hypocrites. And you know what, church? They're exactly right. It's no reason not to go to church. After all, I think the hypocrites are at the gas station and grocery store too, and we go there. But honestly, my friends, are we not all at times hypocritical? Are we not all at times we fall short of his glory? We fall short of his expectations. But what a life Jesus had. He said, the will of the Father, that's what I'm doing. The works of the Father, those are the works that I'm doing. He never one time disappointed his Father. He never one time disappointed his disciples. What a life. But now has come Jesus' time to die. My friends, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto men once to die. You know, folks, whether it comes today or tomorrow or it comes next year, and it might be funny on the back row, but it might happen to you before this service is over. That's not a funny thing. Because you know you don't know when it's going to happen. But in Scripture, we see that Jesus' time to die has come. The Bible says that Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. You know, I've seen some horrible deaths, but none so horrible as this. Jesus didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. In fact, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. And yet with his own hand, he took the scourge and scourged Jesus. And in verse 2, the Bible says, the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Jesus, the one who had healed their sick. Jesus, the one who had given sight to their blinded eyes. Jesus, the one who had raised their dead. Now they were mocking him. Now they were scourging him. Now they were smiting him on the cheek and mocking him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" He did not deserve to die this way. He was sinless. He only did good. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him." What a hypocrite Pilate was. In one breath he's saying, "This man hath done nothing wrong. I find no fault in him." And then he takes the whip and he scourges him. And he allows them to smite him. And he allows them to mock him. And then he brings them forth to them again and presents Jesus and says, "I tell you again, I find no fault in this man." Then came Jesus forth. Wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Oh, my friends, if there's any one thing we could do here tonight, I would say to you, behold the man Christ Jesus. No man ever before lived that way. And no man ever before died that way. If that had been me that day in Pilate's hall, oh boy, I'll tell you one thing. I would have been trying to defend myself. I would have been trying to tell them, "I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. I've done nothing wrong." But Jesus went as a lamb to the slaughter. The Bible says he opened not his mouth. Never defended himself. In all their mocking and railing accusations, he never one time said, "It's you who sinned. It's you who done wrong." He willingly took our sin upon him. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, behold the man. Chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him. They cried out, saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him. For I find no fault." The most grave injustice that ever fell on anybody in all of history is recorded right here in the Gospel of John in chapter 19. Pilate said, the magistrate, he said, "I find no fault in him. But go ahead, take him, crucify." You say, why, if Jesus was God, would he allow that to happen? Why would he allow that to happen? Why would he allow them to crucify him? Why would he allow them to put him on that tree? You know why? For you. For me. He'd done nothing wrong. He never hurt anybody. He never swore at anybody. He never robbed anybody. He never lied to anybody. He never disrespected his parents. He wasn't a grievance to society. He didn't gossip. He didn't backbite. He wasn't an adulterer. He never did anything except good. And Pilate himself said, I can find no fault with them. My friends, today, if we were put on the same trial as Jesus, I wonder if Pilate would say, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in her. They've done nothing wrong. Just let them go. You know, if we had stood on that trial, Pilate would have looked at every one of us, said, guilty. 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 But of Jesus, he said, I find no fault. Crucify him. I don't know about you, I've never seen anybody die that way. I've never seen anybody live that way. Go with me a little further, if you would. Verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. And when they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst, and Pilate, oh Pilate, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And when they crucified him, it was Pilate who wrote the title and put it on that cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate was the one responsible for crucifying Jesus. A king. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Verse 23, the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Can I just say, you ever want to do a good study, just study that robe of Jesus. Study the office of the high priest. I don't have time here this evening, but boy, I'll tell you, it's special. Can you look in verse 25? It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. You got to remember, Jesus is hanging on a cross. Jesus has had his back torn open by the cat of nine tails. Jesus has had a crown of thorns platted on his head. And as he's hanging there naked in shame for the whole world to see, unjustly, no fault found in him, the King of the Jews, he looks out into the crowd and he sees someone in need. And it was his mother, and he said to his beloved disciple, he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Even while Jesus was on the cross, we were on his mind. Can I say, behold the man? Well, I know when I'm in a difficult situation, all I think about is me. All I'm thinking about is help this pain to go away. Help all of this to disappear. But when he was suffering, he was thinking about you. And you, and you, and you. Whew. What a man. What a life. Look a little further with me and we'll be through. Verse 30. Oh, Jesus was thirsty and he asked for something to drink, and so they brought him some vinegar on a stick. But after he received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The end. The end. The tragic end of a wonderful life. Never did any wrong. Only helped people. Only loved people. Only healed people. What a terrible, terrible end. But you know, folks, if you know the whole story, you know that's not the end. He lives. He lives today. I serve a risen Savior. You say, how do you know? He lives right here. When he said, "It is finished," he did not mean it's over. He said it is finished because salvation's plan had been completed. But he did not say it's over, because 3 days later, by the power of God his Father and the resurrection of the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus rose up from that grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he lives today. You say, why does he live, preacher? He lives for you, and he lives for me. He lives. He lives. He lives. It's not over. Hey, it's not over. It's only begun for you. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is only the beginning. This is the night that Jesus Christ has extended his arm through his lowly servant to reach out to you with the plan of the glorious gospel, the message of hope. The Bible calls it the blessed hope. It's not over. It's not over. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not over. It's not over. My friend, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you. I beg you, receive him today. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You say, I can't come to him. I can't come to him because my life's a mess. The Bible says that whoever comes to the Lord, he will in no wise cast them out. All Jesus' life, he received the beggars, the blind. He received whosoever would come to him. And I wonder tonight, would you be part of that whosoever? Would you be willing to bow your knee, admit you're a sinner, that you need a Savior? And my friend, it'll be the best day of your life. He'll come in. The Bible says he'll sup with you. And you with him. You know the greatest thing about God? Once you get him, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He'll be there through the most difficult times of your life. He'll be there on every mountaintop and through every valley. My friends, tonight, behold the man. Behold the man. Pastor, as you come, I'm going to give the invitation over to him. Father, you know my heart tonight, and I've done my very best to do what you told me to do. God, I pray that you'd save one tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me encourage you to behold the man. Some of you tonight haven't got saved because you're looking at Christians saying, I don't know if I want what they got. I don't want to be like them. You need to behold the man. you need to look to Christ. If you're going to look to Al Fury, he's going to fail you. Just flesh and bone, sinner saved by grace. If you're going to use me as your excuse not to get saved, you're a fool. You look to the man. You look to Jesus Christ. See what He has done for you. I've done nothing. Maybe you're looking to somebody else. Maybe your parents have let you down. Don't look there. They're flesh and blood. Look to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some Christians here tonight that you've been away from church for a bit. You come back because of a meal and some good singing. Because you took your eyes off the Lord and got discouraged. Look to Him. Put your eyes back on Him. The piano's going to begin to play. The altar's open. Why don't you stand to your feet tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Maybe there's one here tonight, I can't help but think, that has never trusted Christ as their Savior. Listen, don't let pride keep you from coming to Christ. Somebody here tonight saying, you know, I'm embarrassed. I can't go forward. I can't talk to the Lord in front of all these people. Don't let pride send you to hell. Well, they've always thought I was saved. Doesn't matter what they think. What does God know about your heart? That's all that matters. If there's one here tonight, you need to get that straight tonight. Get that settled tonight. I preached in chapel this year to our young people, and I flat out told them, I said, listen, I can't see your heart, but as the preacher and your pastor, I'm convinced that some of you are on your way to hell. The fruit in your life doesn't say that you're a child of God. Listen, are you saved? Is there one here tonight? I promise I won't embarrass you. I won't call out your name. But could I pray for you? Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I need to know for sure. And you can know for sure. John said, these things have I written unto them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know for sure. Would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. I promise I won't embarrass you. Is there one? Don't go to hell because you're embarrassed. Don't go to hell because of pride. Would you just slip up your hand tonight? Do you know that God makes no mistakes? I'm convinced that this preacher didn't travel 2,000 miles. And God would burden him to preach that message tonight without somebody needing it. You're gripping a pew and you're holding on and hoping that the preacher doesn't look your way. But you know He was talking about you. You know the Holy Spirit's working on you. Don't resist. You may not have tomorrow. Life is just but a vapor. It just fades away. Poof, it's gone. Do you know Christ? We're going to sing one verse. One verse. I'm not going to drag it out. We're going to give you a chance here right now. If God is speaking to your heart, would you step out and come? This altar's open. If you'd just like to pray, maybe there's somebody beside you. You saw that they were twisting and turning all through that service. Why don't you just lean over and say, can I pray with you? Can I tell you about Jesus? Or just come down here and pray for them. What number is that, Mrs. Baker? If you know it, sing along with me. This is your verse. This verse to come and speak to us about the Lord.